All right, we are recording. So I'm really excited for our call today. It's Befriend Your Fears and Rewire Your Negative Thought, Your Negative Thoughts Practicum. And so what that means is that I'm going to be doing some model coaching today. I'm going to call in a little bit, I'm going to call on a volunteer. And, you know, it's hard to kind of manufacture, like, okay, we're going to look at your fear, we're going to look at your negative thoughts. You know, it would come up much more organically in a coaching session, of course. But we're going to see if we can, like, manufacture it a little bit here. And then based on what comes up, I may take the volunteer through the Befriend Your Fear process, or I may take the volunteer through the Rewire Your Negative Thoughts process, or even a little bit of a combo of both. The reason why we have this call is because, you know, it's one thing to learn about the processes in theory, and I did take you through them as a group. You got to experience it and see some of it, but there is a lot more that you can kind of nuance into when it's one-on-one, and I want to be able to model for you some of those nuances and to model for you some of how that will go. So that's the work that we're going to do today. Before we jump into all of it, I want to remind you about the next steps opportunities. I've been just so happy so many of you have been stepping into either the Into the Depths Facilitator Training or the Coaching Mastery Circle or both. It just makes my heart happy every time I get an email from one of you, and I know that a lot of you have sent me emails that you're still thinking about it, so I just want to remind you about that. Make sure that you listen to that recording if you haven't yet. There's a special little bonus if you let me know by tomorrow, but of course, if you need more time and space, please take it. So as we, the other important thing that I want to, as we go into kind of going deeper into the Befriend Your Fear process and Rewire Your Negative Thoughts process, I wanted to just speak a little bit to the coaching container, right, which we've spoken about before, one of our very first calls. And the coaching container, as you've heard me say before, is important no matter what you're doing, but it is particularly important when you're working with fears, when you're working with negative thought patterns, when you're working with shadow, for many reasons. But one of the reasons is this. As you guys see in both of those processes, there's the parts of the process that are about the transformation, that are about the awareness, right, that are about the breakthroughs, that are about the deeper understanding, that are about being able to see the fear from a higher perspective, being able to see the negative thoughts from a higher perspective. And all of that happens in the session itself. But the other really important part of the Befriend Your Fear process and the Rewire process is the transformation part, which is, as you've heard me say so many times before, is about the persistent and the consistent working and rewiring and all of that. And that can't happen in the session itself or in the initial session itself. That's when the bigger coaching container becomes really important. What I mean by that is that the persistent and consistent work, inner and outer work, is about what happens in between the sessions? What is the work that the client is doing in between the sessions to deeper befriend, to deeper rewire? And then it's also about subsequent sessions, how you're coming back to the patterns and to the issues and going more deeply into it, right? So I never think when I'm working one-on-one or in a group, I never think about the work as just about the session itself. Yes, there's a journey that happens in any particular session, and we want to be aware of that and track the journey in that particular session, but then we also always want to be aware of the bigger container and the journey that you're walking through with your client, not only session to the next session to the next session and what the continuity there is, but also what's happening in between the sessions. What happens in between is part of the container when you're working with a client long-term. When I say long-term, I just mean when it's not just, you know, one-off sessions, right? And so you want to be thinking about all of that when you're working with these processes. For those of you that are going for certification and are working, you're doing the five sessions with your one-on-one sacred coach, you know, what I want to point out is that because those sessions are a little bit manufactured, and when I say manufactured, what I mean is you didn't pick that person as a coach, it's only five sessions, they're being spaced out for, you know, 4 weeks at a time, which is really, like, you know, not ideally for a deeply, deeply held container. You don't want to be waiting 4 weeks in between sessions. I set it up that way just because of cost for you guys, right? So, you know, what's happening, that container is more about each session container. You know, how is the Sacred Depths coach modeling Sacred Depths coaching for you within the container of the session? It's less about the bigger container of the work. But when you're working with your one-on-one clients, I want you to be thinking about the container as a whole. All right, so one last piece before we go into our model coaching for today, and that's, you know, we've been through so much juicy content through both of our Befriend Your Fears calls and through the Rewire Your Negative Thought Patterns. Even if you haven't listened to all of the calls yet, or even if you haven't practiced, it's all good. You'll still get what you need from today's call. But I want you to write down right now, what have you learned? Like, what are some of the most important takeaways and learnings from looking at fear in the ways that we have and looking at negative thought patterns in the ways that we have? I just want to make a little bit of space right now to hear some takeaways on these topics. And also, if you have any questions, especially our last call, I gave so much content, there wasn't a ton of space for questions. And the call before that, you guys got a recording. You know, I want to hear, I've heard a little bit from you guys privately, or if you've posted in the Facebook group about the going through the Befriend Your Fear process with that recording, but I'd love to just hear some more. So what are some takeaways and what are some questions that you have about these processes? What have you been learning and what do you need from me? Star two. Kara.
Hi, Joanna. Yeah, I haven't gotten through all of the Rewire Your Thoughts tape yet, recording yet, but I've just been loving this work, and I've done two client sessions that I think have been the most powerful sessions that I've done with my clients, just doing the visualization around befriending your fear. Yeah, so it's really, like I shared in the Facebook group about this one client who chose the fear, and that, like, impacted her so deeply. And we spent a whole session kind of talking about it afterwards, and what, you know, where we wanted to go from there. And because, you know, by choosing that fear, she actually felt like she made conscious a pattern that had been running her for her whole life.
Yeah.
So I'm just really appreciating the work and the application. And so I've, you know, just in the last few weeks had these two like really big sessions with clients around this coming forward, like some of their deeper fears, and some of the visuals that come through the visualization have also been really helpful. And I'd love to just get any thoughts about, like, I appreciate what you just said about the ongoing container. And one idea that I had was as part of my email check-in before the session is to have them like name what fears come up and just to be tracking that as an ongoing part of the coaching. One thing I feel like I don't, like, I feel like I had a lot of, because of what you modeled, I had a lot to work with for an hour session. I have less of an understanding of how it's like, okay, I see that negative thought. Should we work this now? You know, like how, you know, because my work involves sort of story coaching and, you know, there's other work we need to get to, but we could actually spend all of our sessions working on these fears and negative thought patterns. And I'm trying to get a sense of how to, in smaller ways, integrate them into sessions.
Yeah, good. It's such a great question. So there's the integrating it into sessions and then integrating it into what they're doing in between sessions. So let's talk about the in-between sessions first, because it's an important component. And the first thing I'll just say is I know, and I include myself in this group of people, of like I'm not always – I'll show up for sessions, but I'm not always going to do – and I'll do the action steps, right, like related to my business or, you know, whatever it is. But to do some of the more – like the less – sexy in a way, sometimes the inner work, it's harder for people to do that, right? So when I talk about homework in between, I'm not talking about doing it perfectly, doing it 100%, doing all of it, but if clients can even like show up 20 to 30% for things like tracking, you know, whatever thought you worked on or fear that you worked on in a session between then and the next session to really track it, to see when it comes up, what triggers it, you know, all the things that I put on like the tracking worksheet or that we spoke about, that's going to be so helpful because it's just like with that client of yours that chose the fear, but she chose it consciously, and then all of a sudden the patterns, she could see all the patterns so much more clearly. Mm-hmm. Doing something like persistent tracking, and again, it doesn't have to be perfect every day, but even if they hit 2 days out of a week, they're going to get so much just from the tracking. Or another example of work to do in between is to dialogue, continue the dialogue with the fear, or to continue the dialogue with spirit, right? When you've brought that spirit piece into the befriend your fear process, or to continue the dialogue with the negative thought or the wisdom there. If again, they don't have to journal every day on that, but if they could journal, you know, over a 1 week period or a 2 week period, you know, if it's a 1 week period, 2-3 times during that week, even just 5 minutes, 7 minutes, that's part of the rewiring, that's part of the befriending, and it's part of all of the unwinding. So that's why that's why I was making the point of saying you don't want to just think of it as the session or even session to session. You want to think about the bigger container. Sometimes if I know for a particular client, you know, again, and it's so normal to say you're going to do this kind of homework, but not get to it. You know, we'll set up some accountability, and we'll have a whole training call just on accountability. But you know, for now, I'll just say like, I'll say to them, you know, do you want accountability? When are you going to do this journaling 2 times over the next week, Tuesday and Thursday? Okay, do you want to email me on Tuesday and Thursday? Do you want me to email you just to see that you've done it? Or I'd love to hear what comes through the journaling, right? And then I'll also ask about it in the session as well, if that's appropriate. So that's a big important component is the in-between, as well as the action steps that they take, right? Remember, coaching One of the ways that coaching is different from a lot of therapy is that we go into the inner work, but it's in service of an outer goal often, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
the inner and the outer really work together. If I'm working with a client on a fear of visibility, I'm not just going to end that session having gone through the process and inviting them to do the inner work, but we're going to come up with at least one baby action step that's an outer action step at the end that's about creating more visibility for themselves.
Mm-hmm,
because part
right.
of the befriending and part of the rewiring is actually doing the outer work, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So those are the in-between. And then in terms of working it into the session, I think it's about checking in. So, okay, so how did it go? You know, did they do the action steps, right? If they didn't do the action steps, then you may want to backtrack into you know, looking at the fear and the negative thought pattern. You're probably not going to need to take the whole session that second time around, right? But there might be
mm-hmm.
some deeper pieces that want to play in there. And then, you know, I really kind of use the actions as the litmus test for
mm-hmm.
the inner pieces. And then I wait, like, they did the action, great, and we create other actions. When they don't do the actions or they have trouble doing the actions or they don't feel they did the actions but they feel icky about them, that's when I know it's time to go into another inner piece or deeper into one that
mm-hmm.
we've been looking at. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, and I think this will just be an experimentation, but like, once we've done this, I mean, with both of them, I did sort of elaborate visualization, right? And so I don't imagine that I will take them into a visualization if they come up against some resistance to an action step every time. But, like, I might have them dialogue with the fear again or name the fear and dialogue with it and spend maybe 10 minutes, you know, going back into it without having it be taking up the whole session.
Exactly. You might go back into the fear or you might go back into the spirit piece that you uncovered in the session before, the higher wisdom piece, and have them connect back in. Sometimes once you've done the visualization, you want them to continue to dialogue with the fear and all that, but sometimes going back to the higher wisdom or the spirit piece is what
mm-hmm.
they might need next to.
Right.
So kind of want to determine that. Or have
yeah.
them see how the spirit piece and the fear piece, how they're working better, those two pieces are working better than they were 2 weeks ago before you had the initial session, but where they still need to be resolved more and visualize the two pieces working together more, right? So there's lots of different kind of tricks, and some of that I'll get more into actually next year in Coaching Mastery Circle, like some of the more advanced techniques in there, but just to like, you know, kind of jumpstart some creative ideas, right? Like there's
mm-hmm.
different ways that you can work with it.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say is I think what I'm hearing and what you're saying and from my experience is that initial visualization, if it goes well, can give you a lot of content and a framework that you can keep, like the visuals that come through, like you can keep returning to those without having to revisualize.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they can go way much more easily and quickly into the feeling of it
mm-hmm.
and the wisdom
mm-hmm.
of it because you've established that already.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, great question. Awesome. Let's hear from one more person. Either takeaway around befriend your fears or rewire your negative thought process. Or any questions that you have for me? What are you seeing and learning for yourself or as you've been experimenting with clients? What do you need from me? Anyone else on this? Nope. All right. Okay. So let's move into our modeling. The other thing that's important as we go through the model coaching today is to remember that these processes, as well as all of coaching, is an art, not a science. So what it means by that is I wish, in some ways, I wish that coaching could be a science where it's like, here's the 5-step process. Just it all, you're always going to follow it in a neat way. You just say these things and then poof, the client is going to have the result that everybody's been looking for, right? It would be so easy and so nice to do that, but that's not what coaching is. Coaching is more of an art than a science. So you'll see that I'm going to stick to the processes, but I may skip around a little bit depending on what's needed in the moment. I may add an extra step in or not, right? So it's not like an exact thing. I give it to you as a 5-step process because it's important to understand each of the building blocks and each of the pieces that you want to move your clients through. But from there, as you become more masterful, it really does become more of a creative art and leaning into the moment, being in the moment, really seeing, you know, what is it that the client needs to get to the next awareness and the understanding. So I'm going to ask for a volunteer who's willing to be coached for a little bit today. Someone who's maybe you're having some trouble, you have a goal and you're having some trouble moving forward with it. And maybe it's something that you haven't deeply thought about too much yet. So star two, who would like to be my volunteer? All right. Joanna. Is this Joanna? 5921?
Yes, it's Johanna.
Johanna. We're almost name sisters, but not exactly. Forgot
nice.
About your H. All right.
Joanna, can you hear me okay?
I can. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, but when you asked for a volunteer, I didn't catch if you said that you were requesting someone who had or who had not been thinking about this goal.
Something that you haven't, like, really processed through a lot.
Well, my situation is about my book, and I have processed on a lot of levels, but I certainly still have issues. So I don't know. I hope
if
I'm
you've got,
appropriate.
If you've got issues, then you're the gal for me.
All right. I have issues.
All right. So bring us into the picture on your book. And, you know, well, let me just take a step back. So if this were a regular session, I would say, what is it that you would like to receive by the time that we're complete today? Because I really want to focus in on the either befriend or rewiring. I'm going to ask a different question for us to start. So, you know, tell us about this goal of the book and
okay.
What's really been happening for you.
Okay.
There.
All right. So the goal for my book is, just to give you the context, I've been a classical 5-element acupuncturist and teacher for about 38 years, and I started coaching acupuncturists when I saw they were awesome when they graduated in the clinic, but they couldn't get their practices going. So I started learning coaching because it was heartbreaking to see them not be able to take their work into the world, and saw that it was a very different world now about having a practice. And as coaching evolved with acupuncturists and other healers and change makers, I realized that the 5 elements in Chinese medicine are also in every living system, including our business, including their businesses, including my coaching business. So I have been trying to write a book about this, about the 5 elements of Chinese medicine in our health, as well as in the health and success of our businesses as living systems. And I've gotten a certain distance, but then I'm not crossing the finish line on this. And I feel like it's bringing together my life's work on a lot of levels, or bringing together all the different streams. But I'm going to be 73 in a few weeks. I've got to get this thing going. And that's a lot of pressure, but
I hear it. So you say you've gone quite a distance on the book.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't crossed the finish line. How far have you gotten, and what is there still left to do?
All right. So I wrote all the first part about the five elements in our health, which includes the stories of about each element, well, the context of, you know, we're in a dark time, we need to balance yin and yang, and that's the the basis for then the five elements as bringing life and having the five elements be strong in our health. And I talk about client stories, and I explain about the spirits of the points. Certain spirits of the points connected to the elements, and, you know, victorious stories of clients who have more balance. And I give exercises that someone can do in their own, and contemplations and exercises in nature to bring more health and power through the nature's five elements. So that's beginning part is already done. And on terms of the business part, I wrote, somebody said, well, I was working with for a while, an editor said, oh, I needed to separate the health part, and that was a separate book from the business part, and I should just concentrate on the business part and bringing that through. So what that has is the general context of, this very ill society we live in, where, you know, that yang and inflammation and over masculine and authority and busy yang has overtaken, is not balanced with yin, the feminine, the deep and the water and so forth. So that part's done. So the context of then having a business be set in, and I have two of the chapters pretty written, the fire and the earth, and now in meeting the metal, water, and wood chapters, and
got it. Okay, you've got two or so of the chapters written, and there's still three that need to be written.
Well, okay, pretty much, yeah. And I have questions and contemplations so people can look on their own. And I have a really great now infographic visual framework that shows how the traditional view of the five elements in Chinese medicine actually is also about a business.
Yeah.
The five elements in the business. So that's kind of like the skeleton or the bones. And
I
have a lead quiz.
Okay. Yeah, I think I got it. Yeah, I have it.
Okay.
Sure. Awesome. Okay, so it sounds like, first of all, this is a topic that you're really, really, really passionate about. And I remember in our retreat when we were together in March, I just remember the energy with which you were talking about the five elements and how it relates to business and just how important and transformational it is. I hear your passion about this and your commitment to it. I also hear that you've already done a ton of work on the book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, congratulations. Really, you've done so much. I've been saying I'm going to write a book for like 10 years. I haven't gotten any. you've done a lot, you know. You really have.
I have.
And
yeah.
I hear the commitment to wanting to get the book done. And tell me if I'm getting this right. I'm kind of reading between the lines, but it feels to me like even with all of the passion and with all that you've already invested into the book and with the commitment, it's like you just can't get these last chapters done. Am I getting that right?
Well, that's pretty true up to this point, you know.
Yeah.
And I, yes.
Yeah. So what would be at risk for you if you were to write those final chapters? What part of yourself, what idea, what relationship, what would be at risk for you if you were to complete those three chapters?
Okay, so I guess the thing about this book is I'm really wanting to bring together like nature's operating system, the five elements, which is about earth and abundance and practicality, with heaven's view of joining heaven and earth and having it be more spiritual at the same time as not just nature, which is nature's operating system, the five elements, but also heaven's operating system, which is love and kindness, compassion, unconditional joy, and deep peace, which is in every spiritual and healing tradition. And part of me wants to make it more spiritual, too, and part wants to make it really practical, even though I know it's bringing both together. And I guess I feel like this is a legacy offering. I don't want to make it so just, oh, get clients because you can have the five elements help you. But I also want that it's joining heaven and earth, and that's the context. But I don't want it so spiritual that people don't go out and share their incredibleness in a world that's not very spiritual. I don't know if I'm explaining this right.
Yeah,
so I'm trying
yeah.
to balance the bringing heaven and earth together, and I guess I feel like I don't want to make it too practical and businessy, but I don't want it so spiritual that people kind of float off and don't bother. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. It makes perfect sense, 100%. It's really,
okay.
I believe it's really important to marry the practical and the spiritual so that they work together.
Uh-huh.
And I still haven't heard what would be at risk. I have a sense that it has to do with, I'm taking a little bit of a guess here, but tell me
uh-huh.
if there's something
okay.
here for you. I just think
uh-huh.
that it may have to do with being seen as too spiritual.
Well, maybe my risk is I think I'm being seen as too not spiritual.
Ah, okay, talk more about that. Yeah, talk more about that. Good.
You know, I could be, I don't know, and I know it's internal, but I do want it to be spiritual, but I also want it to be so practical and humorous and action-oriented and get over ourselves with our too much spirituality when we use spirituality as a defense
uh-huh.
to, you
yeah.
know, get in the world. I don't know, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. So stick with that for a moment. So what's
mm-hmm.
the risk there for you? What are you scared might happen if you were bold, had the spirit in there 100%, but if you were also boldly practical and even a little bit, like, humorous about these spiritual pieces?
What's the risk?
Yeah, what are you scared of?
Maybe I'm scared that I can't pull it off.
Uh-huh. Talk more about that. You can't pull it off.
That I haven't totally, I guess, 100% joined them myself. I have an online group program now. We're taking people through the whole, basically, the skeleton of this in 8 weeks. And, I feel, yeah, I don't know if I can totally do it. But I guess the thing is, I can totally do my part, and then people can do what they are willing to do. And it's not just about me. I can point the way, but I can't walk it for them, and I have to get over that one, too. And maybe, I don't know if that's it, but maybe it's part of
it. So I'm hearing two things here that that are probably related. So one is that I can't pull this off. I'm not going to be able to find this kind of right combination of spiritual and earthy and practical, spiritual and practical. And then the other piece that I'm also hearing in here is they're not going to get it. They're going to read it, and they're not going to do what they need to do. I'll have put all of this, all of myself into this, and they're just not going to get it. Am I getting all that?
I think people will get the insights, and many people will not take the journey, and it's not my fault. And it's not, and I don't want to make claims on the book, but actually the book can provide insights and awareness and the path, and then people can choose if they want to walk it or not. And that's, and so many people maybe won't walk it. But I don't want to make claims, but if people walk it, that would be awesome. But I have to separate my part from them. But I don't want to be bombastic and say, at the same time, this, is the final solution or, something like that, or the total solution. But it does have a lot of practicality, and it has vision and heart. So I said at the beginning about practical and getting over ourselves as spiritual people too, and I think that's part of the key here about me,
100%. So you may have done the work of befriending my fear and rewiring the thought pattern without me getting a chance to model it. I want to check in here because you've sort of coached yourself to the other side, which is that your job is to just put it out there. And then, it's not your responsibility to make anything happen for other people. So I just want to check in with you. Is there anything grippy in here for you, or anything that we didn't talk about that you feel like you're going to walk out of our call today and be able to complete those three chapters?
I want to say, Joanna, that you held up a really loving mirror and container and helped me discern sort of letting go of some of the entanglement and finding the voice of the way through. But it is up to me now, just like it's going to be up to other people later if they want to take the journey. And I hope that this, I also hope this was a good modeling for other people to use to help rewire, to help discern the negative thought patterns and rewire.
Yeah, I think we did it in a little bit. Like I said earlier, it's an art, right? Not a science. We didn't go step by step to visualize it, all of those pieces. But let's just, because I'm just going to needle in a little bit, and we might just be done,
and
in which case I'll bring on another volunteer, and we'll do another modeling, but just want to check in here. So based on just all that we just did, what's your next goal for the book? We've got at least these three chapters, but that's overwhelming. Let's break it down. What's the very next piece you're going to do? Because this is where you keep on getting stuck, right? So where is the next baby step here for you?
The next baby step is to finish all the the contemplations and exercises that are the skeleton of each of those chapters and the transformational path that somebody can take to help them with those aspects, each of those elemental aspects in their businesses. And they can take them whether they ever talk to me or hear me speak or anything else ever happens or work with me or anything, that at least those will be done. And then the rest of the chapters and the stories and success stories and explanations.
I'm gonna stop you there.
Okay.
Because did you notice what happened? I said, what's the next baby step? Because I don't want you to get overwhelmed by all of the things.
Oh, yeah.
And you just listed all of the things. I think this is part of what is snagging you when you go to do the work. Is that there's all of, and then this thing, and then this thing, and then this thing, and then this thing, this thing, and then you add on top all the pieces we've already spoken about, and it's like you get stopped in your tracks.
Yeah.
So I want to invite you to articulate what's the very next baby action, something that would not take, let's say, more than 90 minutes to 2 hours total.
Okay, finish the metal contemplations and exercises and questions. Yeah.
Awesome. So are you near your calendar right now?
Yes.
Okay. When do you have a 90-minute to 2-hour chunk to do that next piece?
I have it this evening.
Awesome. What time?
I could do it at 6.
6 to 7:30, 6 to 8, something like that?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you want to commit to doing that?
Yes.
Okay, so put it into your calendar.
Okay, I did.
Okay, so and based on all that we spoke about today, what is the belief? The old belief was, I'm not going to be able to figure out the spiritual with the practical. I don't know if people are going to take this information and even do anything about it. So what's the point in even doing all of this? What's the new belief that you want to walk into your work session with tonight?
That I really have something valuable and important to share. That I can finish this, move it forward, offer it to the world, and a lot of wonderfulness is going to happen, both for others and for me as a result of it, and I can do it.
Beautiful. Can you boil what you just said down to something even just a little bit shorter, like a real... I heard you feel it as you were saying all of it.
Uh-huh.
But what is it, like, just a touchstone for you going into this work session tonight that's going to help you get through the work session, even when the fear of, you know, are people going to ultimately get this and do something with this, or is the spirit and the practical working well together? What is the core of the belief that you want to come back to?
And then I can go from my oy vey to hooray. It used to be the title, but I changed the title.
Awesome. So I want you to write that down. I can go from oy vey to hooray. And that will kind of remind you of all the pieces that we've been talking about. And after tonight, you know, then there'll be the next step and the next step, right? So what I want to really encourage you to do is sometime over, first of all, let us know in the Facebook group that you did it tonight.
Okay. I will do that. Okay.
The other thing I really want to encourage you to do is sometime over the next few days, break down everything that's left to do in the book into 90-minute to 2-hour chunks.
Okay.
And write each of those chunks out and then assign a date and a time for them.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
if we were, you know, coaching regularly, I'd be, you know, we'd be tracking this and I'd be checking up on this with you and we'd see, you know, what's going on. But since I'm not, I want you to track yourself. And if you see that you're not getting to the work chunk that you're committing to, I want you to come back and ask yourself, is something about my fear that people aren't going to, you know, take this and run with it, or, you know, because I feel like I'm not going to be able to combine the two effectively, is that what's getting in my way right now? I might be saying, oh, I'm too busy or, you know, this or that, but what's really going on here for me?
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel?
That feels, it feels really good.
Awesome.
Like I want to thank you very much for letting me have this time.
You're so welcome. Really nicely done. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. So grateful.
All right. So, like I said before, thank you, Joanna, so much. And like I said before, it's an art, not a science. You never know where it's going to go. I was, you know, hoping it just for everybody's sake, like in the modeling, to go through some kind of visualization and to go through each
mm-hmm.
step.
Yeah.
Joanna was coaching herself quicker. She already came in pretty baked. So it's great that we got an example of that. Let's see if we can try and get another example right now. I don't know if we will. You never know. But let's see. Actually, before we go there, there's some hands lowered to be volunteers. I'll get there in a second. I'm going to lower everybody's hands. Just for a minute or two, what did you guys notice about the conversation that Joanna and I just had? Pull out anything that you may have noticed, either around coaching skills or parts of the befriend your fear or rewire process. Or what questions do you have for me about the coaching that Joanna and I just did? So what did you notice or what questions do you have for me? Dana?
Oh, I actually was lowering my hand. And
okay.
I think it did an opposite because I guess you already lowered. But I
got it.
I was raised for volunteering. Sorry.
Okay. No worries. Adina.
Hi. One thing I noticed early on when Johanna was speaking is that I would call this a filter, I think, on her side, that she framed the urgency of getting this project done around her age. And I mean, she said, I'm almost 73. I've got to get this done. And it felt like, and I would love to hear your view on this, that first of all, that obviously that's a big filter on her side, and that maybe some of the overwhelm that she's feeling about this project has to do with the fact that she's tying it up in this idea of getting older. And, you know, I think I would have like to kind of dig into that a little bit, because, you know, especially having met Johanna and knowing that she's just such a vibrant woman and really in her prime professionally, and sort of detangling the idea of getting older from the urgency of this project and really reframing it around what she did end up talking about is just the value that she feels like she's putting forth with this project.
Yeah, nice. I agree. I think that was a filter and definitely something that could be explored 100%. Yeah, I love that. Really nice. Good. Who else? What else did you notice? What else did you see? What questions do you have? Again, is a modified on the processes, but what pieces did you see from the processes? Kelsey.
Well, I found myself getting a little confused, and I was sort of like, I thought it was a perfect example because this is what happens to me sometimes. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do this process. And then the person goes in all these different directions, and I get kind of lost. Oh, but what about my five steps? I'm so connected, you know? And I loved watching you artfully navigate that because obviously Johanna got a lot out of it, and you didn't have to go through the exact process that we've outlined, but that's what I noticed. That I was like, oh, this is exactly what happens to me. I think I'm going to do this thing, and it doesn't go that way.
Yes, I'm so glad you're bringing it forward. It's so important for us to understand on a meta level as coaches, right? Like, so for this session, as I said before, I want to really try to model like the process for you guys. But I said beforehand, I don't know. We're going to see how it goes. Whenever you go into a session thinking that you're going to use you've just learned a particular, you're going to use that process, or it's going to go a certain way, it takes you away from being present to what the client actually needs. It might turn out that the client really does need that process on that day, but you'll never know if you're attached to the process, or we're going to talk about this, whatever the this is. So I'm really glad you're bringing it forward even more. You know, for teaching purposes, sometimes we want to try, but when we're with our clients, we're tracking the bigger container. We may know that they've got some fears that need to be looked at, or thoughts that need to be unwound, but we don't want to be attached to how we're going to do them, or even exactly what the fear is if we haven't yet discussed it with the client. So thank you for bringing that forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see if we can fit in another mini modeling here. So Dana, I know you had your hand up. Let me get you off mute. Are you there? Dana,
hello?
Are you there?
Oh, I didn't hear you say Dana. Sorry. Yeah, I figured I would go. I was like, should I raise my hand first? And I didn't. And now you're taking someone second. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, share with us a goal or something that you've been having a lot of trouble moving forward on, one that you feel or sense that there's fear or a belief standing in your way.
Yeah, so just making money in my business. This year I set very specific goals. Like in the past, it's always kind of been like vague and general. But my goal this year is to leave the day job. And then just, you know, within this first half of the year, I was like, you know, I just need to make $3,000, or know how I would make $3,000 consistently a month with my business to leave the day job. So that's sort of been my goal, and I'm making like no money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel stuck there.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear it in your voice. I hear the stuckness and the frustration. What are the actions that, where are you getting stuck?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, just because I do this work a lot, I feel like I have like, oh, I know a lot of my like beliefs that are, you know, blocking me, but I guess that's, I'm not going to go there yet because obviously I'm still stuck, even though I've reflected on that stuff. So, I mean, part of me feels like I'm focusing on, with my day job, I'm definitely getting overwhelmed. With my day job, I have limited time to do things. So I guess I decided at some point that the fastest way for me to make money and to get to this place that I need to be is like one-on-one clients in the bigger packages, you know? because before in my business, I was focusing on one-off sessions and events and stuff that didn't really bring in a lot of money. So I was constantly staying busy, but like making little bits of money, but not getting to the numbers I want. So that was sort of a goal I set for myself. But then now I find myself, I'm planning an event in June. That's taking now all my time and energy. And I have these like programs that I wanted to launch that are like not feeling quite done. And I just haven't gotten back to get to those programs to complete them. You know, the one-on-one packages. So I'm not selling those. Like I kind of have one that I'm like, yeah, I have this 6-week, you know, jumpstart and this 3-month idea. But I guess I feel like I haven't fleshed them out 100%. Which it wouldn't take me very long to do, but then I'm also now focusing on this event instead of focusing on these programs to sell. So I feel like a little stuck there, like my energy is diverted all over the place. And then with the programs, I always have this belief, I think under there that like, I'm not going to get my clients' results. So I keep holding back from like launching these transformational, like I want them to be transformational programs. You know, I teach meditation type tools, and the programs I want to help people with is just, you know, helping them go deep with fears, anxieties, limiting beliefs, and sort of transform them. So, you know, I'm just saying it's transformative work I want to take people through. So I'm just scared that I'm not going to be able to take them through it. So I think that's a block too.
Yeah. So I think you just hit on something, as you know already, that is crucial here, right? Because when you've got this underlying belief or this underlying fear that I'm not going to be able to actually take my clients through what I've promised or what they need, then of course you're not going to finish fleshing out what your programs are. And of course you're not going to start outreaching to people to see if they would like to talk about the programs. And of course you're going to distract yourself by putting together another event. Because all of those things are keeping you from coming to this moment of, see, I was right. I'm not going to be able to bring my clients through.
Yeah. And another thing I do is I constantly offer like low-cost beta programs that take a lot of my time and energy, and then I'm also making no money. And I feel like spent after. And then I like have to not do anything for like a month.
Yeah. That's another way of distracting yourself from these programs and putting them out into the world because of this fear of, they're not really going to work. I'm not really going to be able to do it. Can you see how this one little fear is basically impacting probably all of the actions that you're taking in your business right now?
Totally. Yeah. I just like can't get over that hump.
Yeah. So let's see if we can, you know, nudge into it a little bit more. Are you open to doing some work on this one?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. So take a moment, close your eyes, and just connect in with your breath, inhaling and exhaling. And call forward in human form this fear of not being able to really help your client. And just allow this fear to show itself in human form. And just notice what this fear of not really being able to help your clients looks like. Notice what age this one is. Notice the clothing that this fear of not being able to help your clients wears. Notice if it's wearing any jewelry, how it wears its hair. Notice how this one holds him, herself up. Notice the expression on the face. And just really take some time to connect with this fear of not really being able to help your client. And just tell me, what does this one look like?
I'm like half laughing and half crying because I'm like, I just kind of picture myself, right? Like just a little like disheveled, not, you know, not dressed nicely, hair a little disheveled and like definitely hunched over and like low energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. How old are you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just kind of like picture myself.
Yeah, as you are now. Good, good. So really connect with this one. Connect with this part of you that is so scared that you're just not going to do a good job. This one that looks disheveled and hunched over. Connect with this one through the eyes. You can even take her hands and yours. You can connect through the touch and connect through the breath. Almost start breathing together with this part of you, with this part of you that's scared that she's not going to do a good job. And this one has likely been with you since well before you even started your business. And so ask this one, how long has she been with you?
And then you want me to answer you?
Yeah. Yeah, let us know what she says.
Yes, I mean, I got the word like forever, and then I did picture like just like a young, like preteen.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Good. Good. You're doing really well. So just stick with that and stick with her and ask her what events or series of events when you were a preteen activated this feeling of I'm not going to do a good job. What event or series of events brought that forward?
This work always makes me want to cry.
That's good. That's good. You're chipping away at something here.
I mean, like, I definitely, I have a lot, like, I don't have a lot of memories as a child, but my background is, like, struggling with anxiety. That's why I teach meditation. So a lot of my memories are, like, around anxiety moments. So two things came up for me. The one around the anxiety moment is just like kind of being bullied as a little kid. Like I just remember like being at gymnastics and like it's so silly. But like a girl wanted to like her two friends were like talking to me and like pretending they're my friend and then they said something about, oh, what do scissors do? And I was like, cut, and then they cut me. It's so funny that I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like something about not fitting in there, but then also what came up is there's a lot of pressure from my mom in particular to like get good grades.
Yeah.
And I remember like coming home and like getting a B or something. And she was disappointed that it wasn't like A's and perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Both of those pieces that you just shared, they both feel really big and I can really see how that would have planted this, you know, I'm not going to do a good job, just planted that inside of you. So here's what I'd like for you to do next.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when your mom first started putting that demand on you and that pressure to get it all right?
I mean, my guess is, you know, like as long as I can, you know, she probably just always did that, but I just remember it like when we started getting report cards in school, whenever that was, you know, just coming, I remember it associated with schoolwork.
Yeah, so I don't know, maybe 8, 9, something like that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's say 12.
12? Okay, awesome. So here's what I want you to do is the one that's in front of you, the fear, let her stand there with you, but also call forward your 12-year-old self. And just really see 12-year-old Dana, who's just started getting report cards, in front of you, her mother putting all of this pressure to do it the right way, to do it really well.
Mm-hmm.
You see her in front of you?
Yep.
Awesome. Just tell me a little bit, what does she look like?
Okay. I just see like a cute, it makes me sad to see her because I see like a cute little girl with like pigtails. And she's, like, really happy and excited. And then, yeah, like, the pressure is just pushing her into, like, anxiety mode and, like, crushing her. I even had another memory of, like, when my mom used to force me to go to gymnastics and, like, force me to do all these activities that, like, I had a lot of anxiety around. And I didn't like being in groups. And
yeah.
Just, like, pushing me in there. So, yeah, the little 12-year-old is, like, excited and happy, but...
Yeah.
It's being pushed, like, too far out of her comfort zone and, like, getting anxiety and, like, shutting down.
Yes. Yes, which is exactly what you're doing now in your adult life when it comes to your business. So it's so good that you can be with this one because she's the one that's often running the show when you're in your business. Can you see that?
Yeah.
So I want you to really be with this one. I want you to be with that 12-year-old self. Really see her. Take her hands in yours. Let her know that you see her. Really be there for her. And I want you to ask her, what is it that she really wants you to know? And just see what she says.
Okay. Yeah, so she's just sort of telling me that, like, you've done the work, you have the tools. I mean, you know, like, where she was at that point, she didn't know any different. She didn't have any other tools or coping mechanisms, but that I do now. So just trust them and use them and lean on them.
Yeah. Beautiful. Good. Can you take that in?
Yes.
Okay, good. Continue to connect with her. Let her know that you really got that. Really take it in. And where in your body are you feeling that wisdom that she just shared with you? That you have what you need so much more than when you were 12. Where are you feeling that?
I guess I'm going to say, because I still feel like, I mean, maybe just the anxiety of being coached on the call right now. We're going through this, and, like, I feel the anxiety pieces in my belly and chest.
Yeah.
But I feel I just feel more grounded in my body. So, like, where I'm pressed against my seat and my feet on the floor, that part feels, like, more empowered. And
beautiful. Good. Good. So that anxiety that you feel in your belly, you can even just put a hand on your belly and just breathe there. What does it want you to know through all of this? It's showing up for a reason. Just what does it want to tell you right now? What's the wisdom that it has? It might just be from being coached in front of people, but just want to check in and make sure there's nothing else there.
I feel like what's coming up now is that, you know, like it's okay to feel some anxiety. It's okay. You can also feel grounded at the same time, with that still existing.
I just got chills as you said that. That feels so important. Just because you feel some anxiety doesn't mean that you can't also be grounded and do what you want to do.
Yeah, like even the crying, it's kind of funny. Like when I did my meditation teacher training, I would have to show up and do like Dharma talks and guided meditations, which I don't mind doing. I love doing one-on-one with clients, but, and I've been meditating for, you know, 15 years, but to do it in front of peers gave me so much anxiety that I like, my back went out and I like skipped some classes, but like the biggest fear was like cry. Like I felt like I was going to cry every time I showed up. I'm like such a crier when I get into anxiety mode. But like, so part of me is like, maybe it's okay to cry sometimes, but then part of me is like, I have this fear that like, if I stand on stage to talk or do something that pushes me too out of my comfort zone, then I'm gonna like cry in front of people and I'm not gonna come off as like an expert. Which is, I don't know, that just came up for me. But right now I'm like, whatever, I'm crying on a call, who cares?
Yeah, totally. So we'll get to another session will be for the stage piece.
Yeah.
But where I want you to focus right now is what I think, tell me if I'm getting this right, but I feel like a new paradigm, mm-hmm. a new belief, a new energy is emerging here. Number one, that you have the tools that you need.
Yeah.
And number two, that even if you feel the anxiety, it doesn't mean that you can't do it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's totally different than how you've been operating until now. And it's totally different than how your 12-year-old has been operating.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting that right?
Yeah, 100%. And it's good because those are the people I want to help. So
yeah.
It's perfect that they
yeah.
can also feel anxiety and still, you know.
Yes, yes. Exactly. Yeah. You're not there to erase it, right? But you're there to help them lessen it and move forward.
Yeah.
Good. So with all of this, Dana, what I want you to do next is I want you to see your 12-year-old in front of you and also that disheveled adult part of you that the 12-year-old has kind of been, you know, running in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to feel that groundedness that you feel, even with some anxiety. What is it that you want to tell them? What is it that they need to know so that they can work better with you? Moving forward.
Well, it's funny too. I'm perceiving them as like separate and I'm perceiving myself more as this like grounded,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it is interesting. I'm identifying more with like the grounded wise part of myself right now.
Awesome. That's mm-hmm. good. Most of the time you think you're just those other parts. So you're starting
yeah.
to see, you're starting to get out of that blind spot. That's perfect. This is exactly where we want you to be. So from that grounded place, what is it that you want them to know that they don't know?
That they're safe, that, you know, that they're safe and that they are supported. And almost like from this wise part of me is like, I will protect you. I will guide you. When you need to know something, I will be there to catch you. If you step or, you know, take a misstep, you know, I'm there to support you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So really just see yourself or say it to them. Really let them know.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And thank them for coming forward today. Actually, one more piece. Mm-hmm. 12-year-old, what she is there anything that she needs from you?
I don't know.
I can't hear you, Dana.
Oh, can you hear me?
You sound like a robot, kind of.
Uh-oh, I'm not sure.
Oh, there you are. I got you now.
Yeah, so I'm just talking into my computer. I don't have headphones. I apologize. But what came up was not to be like my mom and like push too hard. Like, just trust that baby steps are okay. And, like, even this idea of, like, I need to quit my day job and, like, make, you know, $3,000 in my business, like, last month. It's like, no, trust that you're doing, you know, like, trust that you're doing it. You're just going at the pace you need to.
Yes. Beautiful. Do you feel like you can commit that to your 12-year-old, that you're not going to push too hard and be like your mom?
Yeah.
All right. So let her know that you're committing to that.
And then I just also wanted to tell her, but I am going to stretch you a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. But that's such a different energy than your mom. Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
I am lovingly going to stretch you and see what you're ready for.
Yeah.
Versus be this taskmaster that expects nothing but perfection.
Yeah. Yeah, that feels good.
Awesome. Okay, good. And so then you can just thank those parts of you and let them fade into the distance.
Yep.
And then when you're ready, open your eyes. Just let me know when they're open.
Yeah, I'm good. That felt good, and that's not something I've tapped on before in that depth. So, that was awesome.
Beautiful. What is well, based on everything, what are you really seeing that's important for you here? Like, what's a big takeaway from that piece of work that we just did?
I mean, it's interesting, but like when you were about to close, and then you're like, wait, let's talk to that 12-year-old. Like, that piece was really powerful for me. That, like, go at your own pace. Like, you know, I've been surrounded by the online entrepreneurial world for a while. And like that idea of like hustle and push is so, you know, there's a lot of pressure to do that. And I'm like, why is it taking me so long? But just trusting that, you know, with a background of anxiety, like sometimes you have to do things slower and still stretch yourself. So that last piece felt really potent. But yeah, stretch yourself, but you don't have to like push your, like dive in, you know, where you're shutting down.
Beautiful. Okay, good. So then taking all of this, if we just start to look at the practical for a moment here, right now it's like May 8th, I think. If you were to set a goal that is not from your mom's energy, but from this new energy, if you were to set a goal, I'm thinking like for July 1, what would that goal be?
Are we talking like specific financial goal or just anything?
It could be financial, but sometimes it's also easier to look at it as like per client, right? Like bring on a client by then. You tell me whatever feels right for you, but again, not from your mother's energy. It could be a dollar number. It could be something else, just not from your mother's energy, from this more loving place inside of you.
Well, so what came up for me first is I have the event that I'm planning on June 8th. So definitely a goal is to, like, I've done events before where it's like a lot of time and energy and low cost. And then I'm not like selling anything after. I'm not, you know, I have no call to action to work with me. So one goal is to definitely, as I'm developing this event, build that into the whole process.
So that would mean fleshing out those programs
exactly. That
you were talking about, and then really working in a powerful call to action.
Yes.
And then following up on it.
Yeah, that's a good one that I don't do enough.
So a couple of pieces of homework for you. First of all, similar to what I shared with Johanna, I want you to just do a blueprint for this, right? Lay out all of the baby action steps to get to that goal, and then assign dates and times for them. What's the very next baby step you sense here for you? It might be doing a blueprint is the very next baby step, or there might be something you know, like this is, I want to do this in the next few days.
I mean, what I'm getting caught up on right now is, like, having to promote the event. So that's what I've been so focused on, just, like, trying to sell tickets and promote. So part of me is, like, I need to just, like, hustle and promote the event. But then I get stressed out because I'm like, oh, I also need to, like, make sure I'm outlining the day. I mean, I have the, obviously I have the day outlined, but design, you know, like laying out the flow so that I am seeding the offering in a very organic way and that.
So it does really sound like the blueprint is next so that you don't get into the self-sabotage of not preparing, you know, not having space to really prepare for the day. Like, obviously we want you to keep on promoting the event.
Yeah, but that's all I'm doing. So you're right. I think it is the blueprint of everything I need to do so that I can put deadlines on everything, and then I'll feel better.
Yeah, beautiful. So when can you do that?
I mean, let me think. I definitely this weekend is when I'm going to set out a solid time to, like, work in my business. So I'll say latest this weekend.
All right. Will you let us know by Monday that you did it?
Yes.
And I'm also happy to take a look at your blueprint if you want to post it in the Facebook group, too.
Okay, thank you. And this is just a brain dump of everything I need to get done for that goal I just said.
Well, then you want to order it. Remember, we looked at this in strategizing, how to create a blueprint. Then you want to order it.
Yes, sorry.
And then assign a date and time for each.
Okay.
The other thing that I'd love to invite you to do is to be in dialogue with your 12-year-old and to continue to give her the loving attention that you started to give to her today that's different than what she actually got in the past.
Yeah, okay.
Does that feel like it would be valuable for you?
Yeah, for sure.
She is a vital part of moving forward in this process. And this is part of really making friends with her. Because up until now, Dana, she totally wants all that's best for you, but she's been standing in your way of that. Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
So just like today, you so beautifully found your grounded space so that you could see her differently and not have her be all of you, that's when she gets in your way. I want you to continue to establish that. So doing some dialoguing will really help. And also just as you go through your days, if you notice that you're not getting done what you want to get done, or you're going into like, oh, I'm never going to be able to help my clients with that, just take a moment and see your 12-year-old self and remind her of the wisdom that came through today. See if you can start to catch yourself there.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. What's your big takeaway from our little session?
I'm like, I don't know, this stuff is powerful. And, just, this is powerful stuff. And that, I have everything I need to move forward. I just need to, work with those fear pieces on a regular basis.
Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for being so willing.
Thank you, Joanna.
You're welcome. So we've got just 6 minutes left. What do you guys want to pull apart from the coaching that Dana and I just did? What did you notice about the befriend your fear process? It was mostly a befriend process. What did you notice about it? What did you see? What questions do you have? Star two. Did you guys notice again? Oh, wait, let me get Tina here. Tina.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So it was really awesome. I identified with a little piece of each woman on this call. We have a lot of powerful women in this group. I want to acknowledge that for a moment. Right? And I'm an acupuncturist, so I absolutely loved what you did with. Is it Johanna? I think I'm pronouncing that correct. Yeah. So it was lovely what you did with her. It was just acknowledging that she kind of already somewhat took herself through the befriend your fear process. And then with, I believe it was Dana, it was the inner child health piece seems to be really, really big with, I think, everybody that I think, you know, all of us can identify with that. But as much as our clients don't even realize that they have that little girl part, you know, that has been either broken or severely traumatized. And so I really loved how you said, what does she look like? You brought a lot of life to the story. So what does she look like? What does she feel like? How old is she? And, you know, that's what I loved and I got from the coaching today is you brought it to life in a way where it was tangible with the senses, you know.
I'm so glad that you're picking up on that. So the bringing to life piece is one of the most important pieces. I'm glad you're bringing up because did you guys notice? I mean, Dana said it herself. At a certain point, that fear was out of her blind spot. She could feel, she said mm-hmm. she could feel she was separate from it. The way that that happens is by bringing that part to life so that it's not all of the client, that they can separate themselves out from it. If a client can separate themselves mm-hmm. out from the fear or the negative thought, that's when the wisdom, the higher wisdom about it can come through, and that's when you can start picking holes at it a bit. So,
oh, okay.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're bringing that forward.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Who else? Star 2. Did you guys notice, same as with Johanna, you know, I had to, it's an art, it's not a science, right? So we went into the visualization and we started kind of with the one figure that showed up as her adult self, and that was important. But as we kept on moving through, you know, Dana came to this 12-year-old part of herself. Now, it's all decisions, right? Like, I always say there's no one right way to get to the result. I could have absolutely stuck with that older version of herself and continued the process. But for whatever reason, it felt, you know, because there was like so much emotion that came up around the 12-year-old self, and because she brought up the piece around her mom, you know, to me, I made that coaching decision to go more deeply into the 12-year-old self. And then, did you guys notice again? She mentioned the thing in her stomach. Probably it would have been, you know, fine to ignore that too, right? But again, following hunches and intuition, I paused from the 12-year-old for a moment to just go into like what was actually going on there with the anxiety in her stomach, and just that beautiful piece of wisdom and awareness came through around how she actually can hold the anxiety and the groundedness at the same time. So, you know, but if I were to go in, like to Kelsey's point earlier, if I would just go in and say, okay, we're just doing it this one way, then my curiosity as a coach would cease. My full presence as a coach would cease. And I wouldn't have been able to get into some of those more important details with Dana. Who is this? Is this Linda?
Yes, it is.
Hi.
Hi. It was an absolute symphony of beautiful coaching. I really appreciated all of that. One question I had was, and this is, you know, speaking to the art of what we're doing here, was there a word that was a key for you that kind of prompted, I mean, obviously listening to her and stuff, but prompted your questioning? Because for me, the word overwhelm, you know, we hear that a lot of times with multiple clients, but there was something about it that, you know, I would have pursued a similar path. And so I was just curious to know if there was a word that kind of led you intuitively to start, you know, going down the path that you did.
Yeah, I definitely took note of the overwhelmed. And, you know, sometimes clients, they, you know, if you just let them speak a little bit, if you give, sometimes you need to cut a client off, they're talking too much, but
right.
other times if you just give them space to speak, they'll bring forward so much more. And what she said a couple sentences down from overwhelm was, it was just in passing, but she's like, you know, and part of it is that I just don't feel like I'm going to be able to get that my clients the results that they want.
Right. Uh-huh.
And when I heard that, I connected the two together, so I knew that the overwhelm was
okay.
related to that. But I decided to go in more with that one because it was almost more of like a concrete thing that we could sink our teeth into. Because she had such a concrete example of what she was doing. And then it could lead to the other places. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, perfectly. I like how, you know, they both kind of piggybacked and then that's where you, you know, left off. Because it is, you know, we can say, you know, I'm overwhelmed and that's such a sort of nebulous subject, but the not being able to give my clients the results is a very concrete thing because that's where they're at in the moment of their stuckness.
Yeah, 100%. And if she hadn't said that, what totally could work with the overwhelm piece too. I may have done it a little differently. I may have gone down, you know, where do you know the overwhelm from in other places in your life? And then kind of gotten to the cause that way. You could have gone into visualization for sure. And that would have, again, many roads lead to Rome. So and that would have been very viable too.
Well, thank you for modeling that and for giving me something to aspire to.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm so glad. Any other thoughts or last takeaways or questions before we wrap for today? I really want to thank Johanna and Dana. We needed both of those models, and so I'm so glad both came up. It showed a way to kind of go in and not be so tied into the step-by-step-by-step, not be so tied into the visualization, but still get your client to exactly where they need to be, and then we got to do a little bit more of the, you know, by the book way. So I hope it was really helpful for all of you to kind of hear and model. Particularly, I wanted to, you know, model the visualization, doing the visualization one-on-one with someone. Any questions, let me know. Have fun practicing this with your partners, with your clients. And I will see you all next week. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
The moderator has left the conference.